المسؤول عنها. Any person who will be asked about the day of Qiyamah. Any person, المسؤول. Every person that will be asked in this dunya about when exactly the day of Qiyamah will come, he will not know it much more than the person who is asking, who also does not know. Which would mean that every person that will ask will not know it, and every person that will be asked will not also ever know it. It says, "Mal mas'ul, al mas'ul, yastadriku kulla man yus'al anil qiyam, anil sa'a." It covers every person that will ever be asked about the last hour. Minas sa'il, as-sa'il, does not know like the one who is asked. So everyone who will ask will not know, and everyone who will be asked will never know too. That's why ulama say one of the aspects of knowing fabricated ahadith will happen so day, 2,000 years to come, 4,000 years to come. There are ahadith like that where people ascribe those falsehoods to the Prophet Muhammad. And one of them was popularly known to be a fabricator of hadith. He said, if it does not happen on the day that he gave, people should know that he was a liar. And Imam Ibn Jawzi and others after him who have written about Mawdu'at, they say that is one of the evidences that he was a liar. Because the date he gave came and the world did not end. So every person that will be asked about the day of Qiyamah does not know it. The one who is asking will not know. No human being knows the day of Qiyamah. So that's why Allah told us in the Quran, إِلَيْهِ يُرَجْعِ الْمُسَّاعِ. The knowledge of the time, it goes back to Allah. But it precedes that verse with a statement. Allah says, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَلِنَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ أَسَاءَ فَعَلَيْهَا وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا. Anyone who performs righteous deeds, فَلِنَفْسِهِ, the person performs it for himself. If I do good, I'm just doing it for myself, because I'll be the one to benefit from my goodness. Likewise, you, woman afar, and anyone who chooses to act unrighteously, wama rabbuka linafsihi, also, it's also for himself. It says, wama rabbuka bidhallamin lil'abid. Allah is never unjust to his servant. So one of the ways of encouraging the people to take up righteousness is to remind ourselves that our times are short. We have a short time to spend. So we have to turn a new leaf and return to Allah Subhanahu. So last week we took and read some points regarding the signs of the last hour. I think on these notes we stopped at the point 9. Go. ظهور نار الحجاز. The next point the Shaykh mentioned says قتل الترك or قتال الترك. That is the correct قتال. I think there is a Hamza missing there. It is not قتل الترك. It is قتال الترك. Fighting the Turks. The fight against the Turks. It says قتال الترك. The Muslims will fight the Turks. Ulama say the Turks that are referred to are not the Turks we know today. The Turks referred to in Hadith, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave a physical description of these Turks. The Turks described in this Hadith regarding the signs of the last hour, they are the Tatars and the Mongols. The Tatars and the Mongols live somewhere in the Russian subcontinent. And we remember that in the sixth century of Islam, 600 years after the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. A very powerful person was born amongst them. His name was Genghis Khan. He grew to the extent that some of the people began to worship him. They took him for a god. And he never came across any group of people except that he destroyed them. He will destroy them without pity. And if he writes a note to the next people he wants to conquer, he will say to them, "Don't forget how I did to this. So you either hands up and surrender yourself to me, or I will destroy you as I destroyed those people." So he started from the Russian subcontinent. He destroyed the Chinese. He moved up to the Heijun River, where we have Bukhara, Tirmiz, Bukhara, the town of Al-Imam al-Bukhari, Tirmiz, the town of Imam al-Tirmizi, Samarkand, all of these cities. One after the other, he brought them down. Genghis Khan. Likewise, areas around Afghanistan and all that. And he was coming to the heart of Islam. It is reported that he was interested in the heart of Islam because he knew that the Muslims were very rich. But he soon died, and then his son, and then his grandson, Hulagu Khan. He was the one who captured Baghdad and destroyed Baghdad. In Baghdad alone, it is reported that over 1.8 million Muslims were killed in Baghdad. And before that, he asked the Amir al-Mustaqim Billah at the time to give him the treasures of Baghdad. We would have read in ancient literature something they refer to as the treasure of Baghdad. Because the Europe laughed at the Muslim world. Europe laughed at the Muslim world during this time. And the cause for their laughter was that the Muslims had abandoned the Sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salam. To the extent that kings began to rent singing girls who were singing for them. The governor of Afghanistan at the time, who was a Muslim, the Al-Mustaqim Billah, when Hulagu Khan wrote him that he was coming to attack him, he wrote a letter to the governor of Afghanistan at the time to send him some good girls that can sing for him. Meanwhile, Hulagu Khan had captured them, so he was requesting for weapons. So when the enemies of Islam were requesting for weapons, the leaders of the Muslims at the time were requesting for what? Singing girls. May Allah protect us. That was how low the Muslims went at the time. A lot of people were killed. He did not spare any life. So when he did that, he piled up their bodies and made a pyramid. Hulagu Khan piled up the body of Muslims and made a pyramid of it. So when he was going to Halab, his next point of call, he was telling the people of Halab, "Don't forget what I did to the Muslims in Baghdad." Those ones hands up. After that, he came to Shah. He said, "Don't forget what I did to Muslims in Baghdad." They hands up. And the last point of call was to enter into Makkah and Medina. But he thought that if he was to go to Makkah and Medina, there are still large Muslim populace in Africa led by the Muslims of Egypt. So he felt to destroy Egypt first before facing Makkah and Medina. So the Amir of Egypt at the time was the one who came out against him. He did not allow him to come into Egypt. And they met at a place called Ain Jalut. It was at Ain Jalut that these evil of the Tatars was put to rest forever. And since that time they were destroyed. The Muslims captured them, they fought them, they got them destroyed. In fact, it was said that the Muslims even sought support from the Christians. The Christians say, "No, the two of you should fight. Let's know our next enemy, because whoever wins after the two of you fight, then that is our enemy." So they left the Muslims to eat alone. And Allah gave victory to the Muslims. And then Allah did a lot of things. One of the younger brothers of Hulagu Khan accepted Islam and started fighting against his own people. So that was how the Muslims, Allah freed them from the evils of the Tatar. It's a long history that I have tried to summarize like this. May Allah make us understand better than it's been said. to this evil and large-scale, widespread destruction of the Muslims was mentioned by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. It says, لا تقوم الساعة حتى يقاتل المسلمون الترك. The last time, the hour will not be established. حتى يقاتل المسلمون الترك. Until the Muslims fight the Turks. These people, he said, alayhi salatu wa salam, قوماً, they are a people. وجوههم كالمجان المطرقة. Their faces are like al-majan, the shield. You know, in those days when the battle, the soldiers went to the battle, they had a shield. Their intention with those shields was to protect themselves against the onslaught. They have an arrow or something. So they said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that wujuhuhum, the faces of these Turks, kalmajanil mutraqa, it's like the shield that is doubled. So when you look at the Mongoloid, the Mongolia, their faces are like looking like the Chinese face, but theirs is even wider and thicker. Their faces will be wide and it will be thick. Al-mutraqa, al-majan, that is the shield that is thick. How is the shield thickened? They get leather to the face, you know, because if you allow the shield to be of metal, when it is hit by the sword of the opponent, it can break the limbs, it can break the wrist. So they shield it with leather. So when it is hit, the leather will absorb the impact and it will not have much effect. This was what the Prophet described, alayhi salatu wa sallam. If you follow up the description of these people by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you see it principally matches the Tatars. He said, alayhi salatu wa sallam, is قَوْمًا وُجُوهُهُمْ كَالْمَجَانِ الْمُطْرَقَ. They are a people that their faces appear like doubled shields. عليه الصلاة والسلام. يَلْبَسُونَ الشَّعْرَ. They will wear hair, meaning they will have, what, you know, the leather shoes we wear are treated, but they will wear leather shoes from the skin without treating the skin. They will wear leather shoes from the skin, hides and skins of animals, without treating the skin. And those who have done documentaries about these people, that is how they look. The shoes they wear are just like the skins of animals. They will not treat them. Of course, because the areas where they live are very, very cold regions of the world. So they would prefer to leave the hairs on the skin that they remove from animals. They would prefer to leave them like that. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wa salam, يَلْبَسُونَ الشَّعَرِ. They will wear hair, that is, they will wear hides that are not treated. وَيَمْشُونَ فِي الشَّعَرِ. And their movements will be their sandals, the clothes they will wear, يَلْبَسُونَ الشَّعَرِ, are made of the skin of animals that have not been treated. وَيَلْبَسُونَ الشَّعَرِ. The shoes that they will wear will also be from skin of animals that are not treated. He said, alayhi salatu wa salam, sigarul a'yun, their eyes will be small. Even the Chinese, when you look at them, their faces are wide, their eyes are small. He said, alayhi salatu wa salam, humrul wujuh, their eyes will be red. Alayhi salatu wa salam, zulful unuf, he said, their nostrils will be flat on their faces. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, their nostrils will be flat, small and flat. Zulful unuf is when the nose is flat on the face. He says, humrul wujuh, their eyes will be red. He says, sigarul ayun, their eyes, their faces will be wide. Their eyes itself will be what? Sigar, small, 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 tiny eyes. Alayhi salatu wasalam. And they were very powerful people. They destroy any community they force, they put them to destruction. Those people. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu, la taqumu sa'a, the last hour will not come, hatta yuqatila al-muslimun al-turk, until the Muslims fight the Sikh. One of the ulama was discussing this hadith.
He said, the way the prophet put it, it was as if he was saying, why would you want to fight these people? Why not leave them? You know, because they started fighting the Muslims. It's a long story. It will take our time. But one could say that the Muslims attacked them first. Genghis Khan had sent emissaries to the Muslim world to inform them that he was coming and all of these, and that he would be ready to fight them in a battle. The Amir at that time got those people and killed them. That was the beginning of the battle. He came, and the destruction they met to the Muslim world, history has not known its kind. May Allah protect us. So that is one of the signs of the last hour. What they did and how they came about all those was mentioned by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. The next point, he said, Qital al-Ajam. Al-Ajam, every non-Arab is referred to as Ajami. Every non-Arab is referred to as Ajami. So some of the scholars say this point is also connected to the first point. But the difference between, the first point about the Tatar. But the difference between this point and the point regarding the Tatars is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam mentioned two tribes. Today, they are known to be in present-day Iran. He said alayhi salatu wa sallam, لَا تَقُومُ السَّاعَةُ حَتَّى تُقَاتِلُوا خُوزًا. The last hour will not be established until you fight Khuz. So the area is referred to as Khuzistan today. It is in Iran. When you fight these people, it was one of the signs of the last hour. وَكِرْمَان مِنَ الْأَعَاجِمِ. A second tribe is also referred to as what? Al-Kirman. They live very close. Kirman, that is the tribe of Al-Imam Al-Kirmani, one of those who did Sharh of Sahih Bukhari. If you read Fathul Bari, Ibn Hajar always mentioned Al-Imam Al-Kirmani. So Kirman and Khuz were one of the tribes that the Messenger mentioned, alayhi salatu wasalam, that when they come up and fight the Muslims, they are fighting the Muslims will be what? One of the signs of the last hour. May Allah protect us. Then he says, Diya'ul Amana. Diya'ul Amana. People failing regarding trust. One of the signs of the last hour is that the people will fail. People will betray trust. A person will be entrusted with property. He will betray the trust. A person will be entrusted with words. Words are entrusted to people. When a person tells you a thing, among the early Muslims, they believe that if somebody is telling you something and looking left and right, he doesn't want you to tell any person. But today, everything you tell one Muslim, it's like you tell the whole world. And you would have told him by way of saying, look, I tell you this, please keep it. But once you tell him, he will help you or she will help you announce it to the rest of the world. Likewise, property. Somebody will say, please hold this money for me, and you can't collect it back from me. Or a person will be entrusted with a position of authority, and then he will betray the people. He will squander their funds. He will steal their money. Do whatever he likes with it. A person may be entrusted with a child. This is my child. Take care of this child for me. And people betray the trust. The early Muslims used to do that. Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar rahimahullah was not brought up by his father. Ibn Hajar was not brought up by his father. He was entrusted to the friend of his father. The friends of his father brought him up. The early Muslims used to do that. If they noted that they were going to die soon, they entrusted their child to their friend. They entrusted their child to their friends. We are not even sure who our friends are today. Not to talk of being able to entrust our children, to take this child, bring him up for me. Boys, girls, as the case may be. Mughira ibn Shu'bah had an entrust, he had a child, a girl, entrusted to him. This hadith occurred in Sunan Abi Dawud. Mughira ibn Shu'bah had a girl entrusted to him. And this girl falls in the category that Mughira bin Shu'bah could marry. Mughira bin Shu'bah radiallahu anhu took care of this girl. The girl grew up. He called one of the companions when the girl was matured. I can't be the giver and the taker. Mughira bin Shu'bah says, I don't want to be the giver and the taker. He nurtured the girl when she was matured. He married the girl. He called the companion to be the wali because he was the wali. So he transferred wilaya to another companion. But this companion said, no, I will not accept. You be the marrying person and be the marrying out. In that nikah, Mughira bin Shu'bah was the one marrying the girl out. And Mughira bin Shu'bah radiallahu anhu was the person marrying the girl. This girl lives in the house of Mughira. There was no facade, there was no fahisha. It is a known practice in Islam. People entrust people. They entrust children. They entrust even themselves. A woman called Abdurrahman ibn Auf, the hadith also occurs in Sunan Abi Dawud. It says, Abdurrahman ibn Auf, marry me to a man. Any person you suggest, marry, I will marry. He said, if I tell you, marry a man, you will accept? She said, yes. So, okay, marry me. Marry me. And he married her. So, but these days, people betray trust. A brother will be told, my sister, help me look for a husband. He looks for a man he thinks he can siphon. If I marry this girl to this man, I can get some financial benefits from this man. Various forms of betrayal. One of the signs of the last hour. The Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, says, إِذَا ضُيِّعَتِ الْأَمَانَةُ فَانْتَظِرُ السَّاعَةَ إِذَا ضُيِّعَتِ الْأَمَانَةُ فَانْتَظِرِ السَّاعَةَ When trust is betrayed, expect the last hour. Does this mean that even amongst the early Muslims they never witnessed trust betrayal? No. What it meant is that the widespread will be more and the frequency will be what? Will be more. To be more widespread and to be more frequent. This one will have betrayal. This one betrayal. This one betrayal. May Allah protect us. The companions asked the Prophet Muhammad, كَيْفَ إِضَاعَتُهَا يَا رَسُولَ How will it be betrayed? How will trust be betrayed, O Messenger of Allah? He said, عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ إِذَا أُسْنِدَ الْأَمْرُ إِلَىٰ غَيْرِ أَهْلِهِ فَانْتَظِرِ السَّاعَةُ When affairs are rested, are placed upon those who are not suitable to shoulder those responsibilities, So two things. When you give somebody responsibility that he cannot bear, what will that lead to? It will make him to betray and fail in that responsibility. When a person is given a responsibility that he cannot take care of, it will lead such person to fail regarding the responsibility. When you make somebody an imam and he's not suitable for it, what will he do? He'll betray it. When you make somebody a teacher and he's not suitable for it, what will he do? He'll betray the trust. When you give your child to somebody, take care of him, and he's not suitable for that, what will he do? He'll betray the trust. So this will lead to that. Giving people responsibilities that they cannot care for will lead them to do what? To betray similar trust. Somebody does not have a means of livelihood. And you know him, he betrayed the trust. When the money of the masjid is placed in his hands, he spends it for his personal benefit. And yet you say, oh, you are the treasurer of the masjid. Hold the masjid's money. You betray the trust. May Allah protect us. It's very, very common now. And during the last hour, the messenger said, alayhi salatu wasalam, says, yusbihu nasu yatabaya'un. The people will begin to trade amongst themselves. فَلَا يَكَادُ أَحْدُهُمْ يُؤَدِّي الْأَمَانَةَ يُصْبِحُ النَّاسُ يَتَبَايَعُونَ People will be trading, transacting business amongst themselves. فَلَا يَكَادُ أَحْدُهُمْ يُؤَدِّي الْأَمَانَةَ One of them will hardly be able to discharge the trust. Trade will be much. When people sell phones, they remove the original batteries and they put fake batteries. Yes, the same battery, the right Nokia.
When people sell in the market, they reduce the weight, they reduce the measure. People do handwork, they betray. They will tell you, we want to buy the material for 100 naira and the material is costing 50 naira. But you can't go there, you don't know. So you will trust in this, should be a Muslim, should not cheat me. He will come back and say, no, in our job, that is how we are doing. If we don't do that, which we want to build houses? He wants to build a house upon cheat? I remember once in the environment we stayed, somebody was working as a medical doctor in a hospital and he never went to medical school. He worked in that hospital for more than 4 years and he never attended a medical school. Brother, he was having yet, he used to start. And he was working in a hospital, he never attended a medical school. So you place somebody like that. Those who employed him there, did they ask for his certificate? Did they ask which medical school he attended, where he did his house job, which youth service state, where did he serve, youth service, and all of these verifications. So things like this will happen a lot. A lot. Somebody will come and say, I have a master's degree, but he doesn't have. Somebody will say, oh, I have a PhD, he doesn't have. Everything around him will prove that he doesn't have. So you give him, you place him in the position of somebody who should do a PhD job. And then when he writes a letter, I've seen somebody like that. He's a graduate. He needed some money. He said, Ustad, I need to say, write a letter for it. That letter should not be written by a boy in JST. And this is a person in youth service. So these things are, these imbalances are there. Somebody has a first class that he cannot defend. If you employ that person as a minister of petroleum because he has a first class in petroleum engineering, what are we expecting? So this is the kind of way, this is the kind of way the world is now. Diya'ul amana, the fact that trust will be lost. May Allah make things easy for us. قبض العلم وظهور الجهل. قبض العلم, knowledge will be taken away. وظهور الجهل, and then ignorance will pervade. Of course, when knowledge goes, what will remain? Ignorance. It's one of the signs of the last hour. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his name أشراط الساعة أن يرفع العلم ويسقط الجهل من أشراط الساعة. Amongst the signs of the last hour is that يرفع العلم, knowledge will go. Which knowledge is this talking about? Ulama said knowledge of Kitab and the knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah. يرفع العلم. People will stop knowing about the Quran. People will stop knowing about the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad. I would not imagine a Muslim who will be 60 years old who cannot recite Surah Al-Fatiha. We have. This same person can come back and say, I'm a master's degree. I have a degree in engineering. I am civil engineer. I'm architect. He cannot recite Surah Al-Fatiha. It is common now, very, very common. قبض العلم, knowledge will go. People will not have knowledge of Quran. We Muslims, when non-Muslims speak to us about Quran and say, oh, you Muslims, your Quran. We say, look, our book is memorized. If the copies of the Quran are lost today, we will write another one. Ask yourself whether you will be the one to write it. قبض العلم. The knowledge of deen will go down. How will it go down? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam explained that in a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. The Prophet said alayhi salatu wa salam, Inna Allah la yantazi'u al-ilma min sudur al-ibad. Allah will not just, somebody had studied, he had spent time and effort to learn and has actually attained knowledge. Allah will not remove knowledge from his mind. In tiza'an, Allah removes the knowledge. Somebody who had been knowledgeable becomes ignorant. That is not what Allah will do.
ولكن ينزع العلم بقبض العلماء. Allah will take knowledge away by taking the scholars away. So when the likes of Al-Imam Al-Shinkiti rahimahullah, one of the greatest scholars of tafsir in our time, he wrote a book of tafsir, أضواء البيان في إيضاح القرآن بالقرآن. When he went away, we never had his like again. We never had his like. Al-Imam Al-Shinkiti at age 9, he wrote a poem in Arabic describing the nasab, the genealogy of the people of Shinkiti. Age 9, he wrote poems in Arabic describing the genealogy, the lineage of his tribe. At age 9, one of the best speakers and users of Arabic. When he got to study, he's from Mauritania here. When Al-Imam Al-Shinkiti got to Saudi Arabia, people like Sheikh Abdulaziz bin Baz learned from him. Sheikh Muhammad ibn al-Uthaymeen said when he accompanied Sheikh bin Baz to the sitting of Al-Imam Al-Shinkiti, he was wondering, who is this black man who wants to teach our Sheikh? Sheikh ibn al-Uthaymeen, he said he was wondering, this our Sheikh is here, okay, let's see what will happen. He said, but when he opened his mouth, I knew he was filled up with knowledge. Imam al-Shinkiti. Tafsir of Quran, one of the best tafsir. Malan Jafar Mahmood in Kano would say he cannot talk about a verse of the Quran without looking at Adwa al-Bayan first. First, what did Al-Imam al-Shinkiti mention about this verse of the Quran? He was amongst those who established the Islamic University of Medina. Quran. We have the likes of Al-Imam al-Albani rahimahullah. We know who he was. Once someone asked him a question regarding a hadith, and he says he does not know. So the man says, why will you say you don't know? He says, well, I don't know so much hadith, but as far as Kutub al-Sitta is concerned, we are fully covered regarding it. Kutub al-Sitta, al-Bukhari, Muslim, Sunan Abi Dawud, Sunan al-Tirmidhi, Sunan al-Nasa'i, Sunan ibn Majah. Any question from them? And he would refer to Tahzib al-Kamal, a book that occurs in 35 volumes as if he was reading Surah al-Fatiha. Al-Imam al-Albani rahimahullah. I asked one of his students, I said, who amongst you is like him? He said, what he feels is that if they gather the knowledge of all of them, they have not reached him. And from amongst them we had Sheikh Abu Ishaq al-Huwaini, the likes of Sheikh al-Halabi, Ali al-Halabi, Sheikh Mashhur was the one saying this. He says, if you gather all of us together, we are not up to him. So when he went, we never had his like again. We had Sheikh Abdulaziz ibn Abdullah ibn Baz. When he was there, he gave every fatwa regarding very, very dicey and important issues. So they were so influential that they could come in between countries of the world. Before the first Gulf War, Sheikh bin Baz rahimahullah, he wrote a letter to Saddam Hussein that, look, don't occupy Kuwait. If you don't trust the United Nations, trust us. Myself, he mentioned some of the scholars who will call the two of you to a meeting and will settle the dispute. A scholar writes a president. If this scholar does not think that this president will recognize and then respect his letter, he will not have written. If you tell me to write Bill Clinton, now how will I write Bill Clinton? The one in my backyard, the back of my house here, does not know me. So it shows how prominent these people were, and noble they were, and well-grounded they were in their knowledge. Rahimahumullah. But when they went, the world never had their lives again. We've never had their like. Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, someone like him, he made a istinbat of ahkam. That is, he deduced evidences from the Quran, from the Sunnah, from where you don't expect. He said, this verse has so evidence. And when you start thinking about the verse, you see, subhanAllah, the verse has the evidence showing his deep sense of understanding of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger, alayhi salam. When he went, he don't have his like. So the ulama will come and they will go. The ulama will come and they go. When they go, we'll not be able to replace them. In our own country, Sheikh Adam Al-Ilari, when he went away, have we found a replacement? Sheikh Ja'far Mahmoud, when he went away in the north, have they found a replacement? And now Mala Muhammad Awal Adam Al-Albani, when he went, do we find a replacement? So that is how knowledge will be taken away. Allah will take knowledge away from mankind by taking away the scholars. So when the scholars go, we will not be able to find their likes again. Rahimahumullah. So when that happens, then ignorance will pervade. When we need fatwa, we'll ask ignorant people. Yes? Fasu'ilu, that's what he says. He says, Hatta la yakuna alim. They will not be scholars again. فَتَخَذَ النَّاسُ رُؤُوسًا جُهَالًا. People will take their heads as ignorant people. فَسُئِلُوا. They will be asking them. And they will give responses بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. That is without proof from the Quran and Sunnah. It says فَضَلُّوا وَأَضَلُّوا. Those so-called pseudo scholars will give fatawa. They will go astray and then they will lead the people astray. May Allah protect us. I think this is the generation now. May Allah protect us. They say, قَبْضُ الْعِلْمِ. Knowledge being taken away. وَظُهُورُ الْجَهْلِ. And the fact that ignorance will spread. One of the scholars say, when knowledge will be taken away, one of the meanings is that it is possible to find somebody who will have knowledge, but he will not act upon knowledge. They say it is one of the ways that knowledge will be taken away. One of the ways that knowledge will be taken away is that a person will be knowledgeable, but he will not follow his knowledge with appropriate action. And then he brought as an evidence one of the riwayat of this hadith in Sahih Bukhari, wherein the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, وَيَنْقُسُ الْعَمَلُ. And actions that follow knowledge will be what? Will reduce. He will be knowledgeable, but he will not follow knowledge. So what is the value of knowledge that is not followed? May Allah protect us. The 14th point, he says, كَفْرَةُ الشُّرَطِ وَأَعْوَانِ الظَّلَمَ. كَفْرَةُ الشُّرَطِ. Widespread of police. Police. Shurat. Police. Everywhere and everything will be police. Everywhere and everything will be policed. Everywhere and somebody told me that in Egypt, if you gather 5 people, 2 of them are police, but you will never know. In fact, somebody said, I've not seen that now, 2 over 5 is small. Say 3 over 5. Almost everybody is watching the next person. Everything will be policed. In my thinking from that is the use of these CCTVs now. Everywhere is CCTV. Everywhere is bugged. The phones are bugged. The homes are bugged. Everywhere is bugged. If you say people did not die in Baga, they will show you people died there and they didn't come to Baga. Everywhere is bugged. By the hands of the people. They will not move anywhere. They only need to input the appropriate longitudes and latitudes. It will give them the entire... In fact, no longitude and latitude. If you hold Google Maps, you insert Aleppo Wado, you see this masjid. You see this masjid now. So everywhere is bomb. Everywhere is police. Everybody is police. Everything is recorded. May Allah protect us. You go in advanced countries, where you, any supermarket you get into, throughout the road, on the poles of electricity, power poles, there are cameras still everywhere. Kasra to shurat, widespread policing, wa a'wanu zalama, and help us upon evil. a lot of policing and helpers upon evil. People will be helping themselves to commit evil. May Allah protect us. The Prophet Muhammad he says, فَيَكُونُ فِي آخِرِ الزَّمَانِ شُرْطَةٌ. Towards the end of time, يَكُونُ فِي آخِرِ الزَّمَانِ شُرْطَةٌ. There will be a lot of police at the end of time. يَغُدُونَ فِي غَضَبِ اللَّهِ. These people, يَغُدُونَ فِي غَضَبِ اللَّهِ. They will wake up under the anger of Allah. They wake up under the anger of Allah. وَيَرِيحُونَ بِغَضَبِهِ. Likewise, they will go back to sleep under فِي سَقَطِ اللَّهِ, under the anger of Allah. He says, فَإِيَّاكَ أَن تَكُونَ مِنْ بِطَانَتِهِمْ. إِيَّاكَ أَن تَكُونَ مِنْ بِطَانَتِهِمْ. Be careful for being a bitana, an accomplice. Because most of the time, when people want to do evil, they bring in some people to help us to do this thing. Help us to do this thing. Help us to commit this thing. The Prophet said, إِيَّاكَ أَن تَكُونَ مِنْ بِطَانَتِهِمْ. Be careful not to be a helper upon evil. The police in itself, they say these days, they say it is intelligence gathering. Go. Intelligence gathering. The Messenger said, alayhi salatu إِيَّاكَ أَن تَكُونَ مِنْ بِطَانَتِهِمْ. Be careful not to be an accomplice. Yes, if a person is doing evil, it is correct in Islam to report them to the authority. If you find people, this is common in the Western world. A child can report the parents. I'm sure we know that. The child will pick up a phone and call police. Police, mommy is doing so-so or daddy is doing so-so. If it is something that threatens the peace of the land, it is correct. We found examples of that in the lifetime of the Prophet Muhammad. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud reported a hadith. Al-Imam al-Bukhari mentioned that hadith in Al-Adab al-Mufrad, that once the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam distributed the property, booty that was brought from the battle. So after he distributed it, he went back into the house. And one of the people said that, Wallahi, ma qutima bihadihi wajhullah. Ma qutida bihadihi wajhullah. This was not done for the sake of Allah. Ibn Mas'ud, for the sake of Allah. So the Prophet distributed what he distributed, not fearing the face of Allah. Ibn Mas'ud went in and reported to the Prophet Muhammad. This is our point of reference here. That if we find people committing evil, being lawless, we can report them to the police or the appropriate authority. It is not wrong to do that. If that is what is called intelligence today, then Islam suffers. But don't be إِيَّاكَ أَن تَكُونَ مِنْ بِطَانَةٍ. Don't be an accomplice upon evil. If evil is planned against the people, don't be an accomplice. May Allah protect us. So he says, كَفْرَةُ الشُّرَطِ وَأَعْوَانِ الظَّلَمَةِ. There will be a lot of police, and there will be helpers of one another upon evil. The 15th point he says, intisharu zina. Intisharu zina. Fornication and adultery will be what? Widespread. Intisharu zina. It's one of the greatest problems of this generation. Intisharu zina. A brother told me recently that when a woman walks or stays in a place where there are men, they don't see it as anything to have friends, adulterous friends. So adultery is common amongst the people. May Allah protect them. In Tishar al-Zina, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, La yakunanna fi ummati aqwam. Some people will come in my ummah. يستحلون الحرى والحرير يستحلون الحرى يعني يستحلون الزنا والحرير حرى زنا والحرير and the use of silk by men. لا يكونن في أمتي أقوى. Some people will come in my ummah
يستحلون الحرى والحل. They will seek to legalize zina. I remember a brother who wanted to marry a sister. The father of the sister said, he does not marry his own daughters out until they are pregnant. What does that mean? May Allah protect us. It was a tug of war. Don't think it is far away. It happened in this Oshogbo. That's about 30 years now. The father said he does not have a history of marrying out his own daughter without her being pregnant. They don't see it as any. And then with the widespread of what is now referred to as social media, a man's wife will think she's socializing to be interacting freely with the man of another woman. A sister, she'll say she's not married. She wants to learn more. If you want to learn Islam, it is not on Facebook. If you want to learn Islam, it is not on WhatsApp. Go and look for a teacher and learn. Learning in Islam is beyond the light and the fame. People fame on these devices. If you want to learn and study, go and look for a learned person and study with him. If it's a woman, look for a learned woman and study with her. But these lies and deceit that a person joins Facebook to learn Islam is a lie. May Allah protect us. I think that is the truth and it must be said. Intishar al-zina. Zina will be widespread. In one of the ahadith, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, يَتَصَافَدُونَ فِي الطَّرِيقِ. Zina will be so widespread. يَتَصَافَدُونَ فِي الطَّرِيقِ. Men and women will commit zina on the road. These days it is common. You see them holding themselves tight on the road. On the road. A brother one day, long ago, more than 10 years now, gave a narration and he was crying. He said he was going to read in the night at the time we were in the university. He said he saw a male and a female having dinner. He was on the road and he had to tell them, please, can you move away? The messenger said that, alayhi salatu wasalam. He said the most pious of the people at that time is the one who will see the people and say, please move away, move to behind that. May Allah protect us. Because there will be widespread shamelessness. Widespread shamelessness. When we were younger than this, our sisters with whom we grew up, what they wore inside is what the women wear outside today. Our elder sisters who brought us up, that in whose hands we grew up, what we used to see them wear as children, we will see them as children. Our elder brothers will not see them. But if they want to send people to their room, to their apartment, we are the ones they will send. What we can remember that they were wearing inside is what the women wear outside today. May Allah protect us. Unfortunately, women age 40, age 50, age 60 also wear these useless clothes. One of the signs of the last. He mentioned it, alayhi salatu wasalam. He says, Sinfani min ahli nas. There are two groups of people amongst the people of the fire. He says, Lam arahuma. I have not seen women like them. I have not seen those kind of people before. And he mentioned nisa kafiyatun ariya. Women that will be dressed but still naked. They are dressed, they are wearing clothes, but they are nude. May Allah protect us. It says, Ma'ilatim mamilat. When they walk, they will be tilting left and right. It says, Ru'usuhunna ka'asnimatil bukhtin na'ila. Their heads are like asnima. You know, the hunch of a camel. An na'ila. So when you look at the hunch of a camel, because of the way they pack those hairs,
It will look as if the front will look like the haunch of a camel, and the back will look like what? The tail of a camel. Says la yadkhuluna al-jannah. They will never enter the paradise. وَلَا يَجِدْنَا رِيحَهَا. And they will not even smell its fragrance. May Allah protect us. So this is the kind of generation people are. Women wear what they like. Women wear what they like. More so those in higher institutions. Young girls in higher institutions. That the parents sweat to send them to school to become educated. What they cannot wear at home, they wear it in the school. What they cannot wear at home, because of peer pressure, when they come to school, they wear those. May Allah protect us. See, a lot of times you hear students, even these days, you hear secondary school students. Not only that, because we are in a zaman of a lot of fitan. There are cameras now, everybody is carrying about a camera on his or her hand. So when they make the evil, they even film it and say, all the world, come and see. Really unfortunate. May Allah make things easy for us. He said, alayhi salatu wa salam, intisharu zina, the 15th point. The 16th point, he says, انتشار الربا. Riba will also spread. Generally speaking, every illegal trade in Islam is referred to as what? Riba. Every trade that is illegal is referred to as riba. But more specifically is the issue of usury. Everywhere in about everything that they say, come and buy a car, pay later. Even phones, they say we'll give you a recharge card of 100 naira, but when they collect it, they give you a recharge card of 80 naira. But when they collect it, how much will they collect? 100 naira, it's riba. They say don't be stranded. So for you not to be stranded, collect 80 naira recharge card. And then when you pay back, how much do you pay? You pay 100 naira, it's riba. It is riba nasi'a. Haram. Likewise, we have different forms of cooperatives. And because the zeal to earn and take and have is one of the signs of the last hour. Kasra to show avarice. You want to have. Many people join those interest-based cooperatives because they want to have. The zeal to have. So you can borrow the money. So when you borrow 80,000, you pay 100,000. It's riba. Riba. Intisharu riba. Widespread riba. May Allah protect us. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Bayna yaday sa'a yazharu riba." Bayna yaday sa'a yazharu riba. At the end of time, when the hour approaches, riba will be widespread. Somebody used to give an example of this. He said it to be so spread to the extent that if you don't eat it, it will come on your face. If you escape and you don't eat riba, riba will splash on your face. There's hardly what people do today, they don't involve riba one way or the other. Especially in the corporate world, as they call it. There's hardly anything they do that's not involving riba. The Prophet Muhammad says, "La ya'tiyanna 'ala an-nasi zamanun," a time will come upon the people. "La yubali al-mar'u bima akhadha al-mal," an individual will not care from which source he got his wealth. Amin halalin am min haram? Is it from halal or is it from haram? La yubali. He will not care. All he wants is, let me have. It's one of the signs of the last hour. The 17th point, he says, Zuhurul ma'azif wa istihlaluha. Zuhurul ma'azif
واستحلالها widespread of music and musical instruments واستحلالها and people seeking to say it is halal. So today we have those who call themselves Islamic musicians. They have a group, Islamic musical group. How can it be Islamic when it is a musical group? If it is a musical group, it can't be Islamic. Say Islamic musical group, Muhammad Rasulullah musical group. Different names they adopt. One of the signs of the last hour. The Prophet Muhammad. Anas ibn Malik reported this hadith. This hadith involves many other issues that we had discussed, and one of which we'll still discuss. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, min ashrafi sa'a. La, before that, he says, alayhi salatu wasalam, iza stahallat ummati sittan fa'alayhimud damar. Iza stahallat ummati sittan fa'alayhimud damar. Iza stahallat ummati sittan. If my ummah, when my ummah allows 16 halat, istahallat, the stick to make it halal, it says, فَعَلَيْهِمُ الدَّمَارِ, they will be perished, ruin will come to them. إِذَا اسْتَحَلَّتْ أُمَّتِي سِتًا, when my ummah allows 16, فَعَلَيْهِمُ الدَّمَارِ, they will be put to ruin. The first of what he mentioned, alayhi salatu, إِذَا ظَهَرَ فِيهِمُ التَّلَاعُبُ, إِذَا ظَهَرَ فِيهِمُ التَّلَاعُبُ, when it becomes common amongst them that they are mutually swearing and cursing themselves. At-talaa'ud, mutual swearing and cursing one another. Who has this thing? It is my, oh yeah, swear. Wallahi, wallahi, wallahi. You don't say, yeah, swear. Wallahi, talaa'ud, it's not be me. It should be common and rampant amongst them. This فَعَلَيْهِمُ الدَّمَارِ. Secondly, he says, وَشَرِبُ الْخَمْرَ, when they begin to consume alcohol. This فَعَلَيْهِمُ الدَّمَارِ. وَلَبِسُ الْحَرِيرِ, when they begin to allow wearing silk for men. He says, عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. وَاتَّخَذُ الْقِيَانِ, and then they take singing girls. When you have singing girls in the ummah. We have a lot of women now. They will sing, they have girls dancing with them. Those girls are called qiyan in Sharia. Qiyan, singing girls. When the ummah takes singing girls, says فَعَلَيْهِمُ الدَّمَارُ. And then he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, وَاكْتَفَ الرِّجَالُ بِالرِّجَالِ, اكْتِفَاءُ الرِّجَالِ بِالرِّجَالِ, when the men are comfortable with men, you know what that means? Homosexuality. وَالنِّسَاءُ بِالنِّسَاءُ, and women with women. When the men are comfortable with men, that is when the men take two men, when the men satisfy their lust from men, and then women satisfy their lust from women. That's what they refer to as lesbianism, Abi. It's very common now. So they allow it. And he says, alayhi salatu wasalam, إِذَا اسْتَحَلَّتْ أُمَّتِي سِتًا, when 6 things are allowed in my ummah, فَعَلَيْهِمُ الدَّمَارُ, destruction will come to them. So now, when a country says, we will not allow that, they say, we will sanction you. We will not allow that. We will withdraw our help. We will withdraw this. We will withdraw grants. We will withdraw security from you. The grants come from Allah. Security comes from Allah. But this thing is becoming widespread by the day. May Allah protect us. But the point of reference for citing this hadith is وَاتَّخَذُ الْكِنَا, when they take singing girls. It says فَعَلَيْهِمُ الدِّمَارِ, فَعَلَيْهِمُ الدَّمَارِ, then destruction will come to them. Al-Qiyam, singing girls. May Allah protect us. The 18th point he mentioned says, كَثْرَةُ شُرْبِ الْخَمْرِ وَاسْتِحْلَالُهَا كَثْرَةُ شُرْبِ الْخَمْرِ وَاسْتِحْلَالُهَا Widespread consumption of alcohol and then allowing alcohol. When people allow alcohol, say it is allowed. What's wrong with it? Is it not people begin to find justification? Just like they are finding justification for musical instruments too, they'll be finding justification for alcohol. So when they justify music and then they justify alcohol and then bring justification for allowing singing girls, what will happen in that congregation? Zina too will spread. So those things follow themselves. When they allow singing girls, they allow alcohol, and then they allow girls. Allah salam. We've seen. See people think the people marry. A girl is marrying. And she will invite people to come and sing for her to get married. Most of them don't spend 3 to 4, 5, 6 months in marriage, the marriage breaks down. I remember a child of a former head of state in this country that brought one of the most popular musicians from Europe in when he got married in a northeastern, western state of this country. That marriage did not last 1 year. They brought Oyinbo, an European, to come and sing in Mina. Sorry. May Allah protect us. It's a wrong show of opulence. Destructive show of opulence. May Allah protect us. These are the things Muslims do now. Unfortunately, the North is taking this now. It was common with Yoruba, but in the North now, they sing and dance too. I was surprised to see women on the street dancing on the days of marriage. It used not be like that in the North. They are learning wrong things from Yoruba. Yorubas are those who were known for this because they are a bit far away from Islam. It used not be like that in the North. But now it is common in the North. It is common. They even have what you have, you say Ashwadi. They started it now in the North. It is not a good thing the North is taking. A North where when you want to marry, all you need is 3 minutes of sitting down with Imam on Juma. They say those who are getting married, come forward. Immediately after Salatul Juma. They say, who is the father of the girl? I am the one. You won't even see the girl. What is her name? Aisha to Adamu. Who is marrying? You won't even see the husband. He has wakili. The husband has a wakil, somebody he has assigned. So the person will come and sit down. The father of the girl, the wakil, the imam will say, Zamu Ishaida, Udu Shahada. So they will say, have you organized the mahar? They say, yes. In 1 minute, it is over. 1 minute. I attended a marriage where about 100 people were married. They will just be counting. So they count the list. Are you all here? Yes. They started. One pump, 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 like that. Fast tracking. So, and then when they go back, they make walima. They make walima on Friday, they make walima on Saturday. Up to Sunday morning, they are still making walima. Now they added dancing. May Allah protect us. And the marriages are breaking down every day. In the North, marriages are breaking by the day. I heard of a marriage of a week. 1 week, they married this weekend, the following weekend, the marriage was over. The person is even very popular. May Allah protect us. Kasratu shurbi al-khamri is the point. Much of consuming alcohol was tihlaluha. And the people seeking to say that alcohol is what is allowed. In that hadith that we read regarding 16, one of the things the Prophet mentioned in it, alayhi salatu wasalam, is that وَشَرِبُ الْخَمْرَ when they drink alcohol. One of the ulama say
استحلال الخمر, considering خمر, alcohol, to be halal, one of it can lead to absolute kufr that will make an individual to remain in Jahannam forever. May Allah protect us. So when people say something that is haram, is halal, despite knowing that it is halal, it is one of the ways of coming into kufr. When they know it is haram, they say no, it is halal. When they know it is halal, they say no, it is haram. It is one of the ways of becoming a kafir. May Allah protect us. So that is the 18th point. The 19th point, he says, زَخْرَفَةُ الْمَسَاجِدِ وَالتَّبَاهِي بِهَا. زَخْرَفَةُ الْمَسَاجِدِ, designing mosque, تَزْيِينُ الْمَسَاجِدِ, designing mosque, different forms of design, gold, silver, all of it. The mosques are divine. Design. What tabahi are mutually contesting regarding that. So in an area they build a mosque, they design it, they put a dome, they gold plate the dome, the other people say our own will be better than that. They build another one. They say no, remove this one, build another one. This one is not befitting. So they make masajid a tourist center. In Abu Dhabi there is a mosque that's a tourist center. In Dubai there are. They make masajid a tourist point. Masjid tourist point. A masjid a tourist point. Because the masjid had been over designed. He said alayhi salatu wasalam, La taqumu as-sa'a hatta yatabaha an-nas fil masajid. The last hour will not be established. Hatta yatabaha an-nas, until the people begin to contest in which one is more beautiful, our own or their own. They make a contest in that regarding masajid. When that happens, we know the sign, the last hour had approached. He said also in another hadith, من أشراط الساعة أن يتباهى الناس في المساجد. From amongst the signs of the last hour is that the people will compete in the beautification of masajid. Abdullah ibn Abbas رضي الله عنه, when he heard this statement, he said, لا تزخرفنها. You people will do it. لا تزخرفنها. You will design the masjid. كما زخرفت اليهود والنصارى. Just as the Jews and the Christians were designing or are designing their places of worship. If you go to a church today, may Allah protect us. You see, so designed. They will put ribbons, they will put clothes, they will put, you know, different things. To be beautiful, to be fine. Likewise, the synagogues of Jews. So when Muslims do that now, we copy the Jews and the Christians. In fact, many Muslims will say, see, we Muslims, our own mosque is not fine. That does not mean having conveniences in the masjid, things that make the masjid convenient. This is something else. But when you talk about designing the mosque, painting the mosque, an array of things in the direction of the Qibla, the people can't concentrate and pray. Like Umar radiallahu anhu said. He said radiallahu anhu, Akinna an-nasa min al-matar. Akinna an-nasa min al-matar. Protect the people from the rain. Wa iyyaka an tuhammara aw tusaffira fataftina an-nas. So be careful an tuhammira, to paint the mosque red, al tusaffira, or yellow, and then fitna comes upon the people. Because when they come into the masjid, they can't concentrate. We don't even care in our generations today whether we concentrate in salah. Some may even say, are you not happy that I even pray? You are asking me whether I concentrate in my salah. This is to the level low that the people have gotten. So they think that when they come to pray in the masjid, yamununa alayka. They say, oh, you are not even happy that we came. Who are you? Who are you? What will Allah do with your dua, with your salah? Is it with your salah that the heavens will be held suspended? Is it with your salah that Allah will cause the rain to fall? When he says, فَلَا وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُ مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحْدًا, what did he say? What did he follow it with? What did he follow it with? Which verse follows مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ مِنْ رِزْكٍ وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ يُطْعِمُونَ نَعَمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو قُوَّةِ الْمَنِ. So when I say worship me, don't think that I'm saying worship me so that I can have power to send rain, then to hold the earth, then to hold the rivers. No. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُمْسِكُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ أَنْ تَزُولَ. Allah is the one who holds the heaven and the earth. In science they say it is gravity. Who puts the gravity there? It says, يُمْسِكُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ أَنْ تَزُولَ. I'm holding the heavens and the earth so that they don't go away. If the sun goes away from its place now and comes to hit the earth, where will we be? If the moon goes away, the other day they were saying that a meteorite will fall on the earth. They were trying to calculate where on the earth will it fall to, because its impact on the earth will be so felt and it will create a crevice. So they were trying to calculate where it will fall on the earth so that they can evacuate the people on that area. Say, ordinary meteorite. What about sun? What about other stars in our own galaxy? What about stars in other galaxies? Who is holding all of those things? So Allah says, يُمْسِكُ السَّمَوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ عَنْ تَزُولَ. I am holding all of that so that they do not scatter on the earth. وَلَا إِنْ زَالَتَ. If the sun were to depart from where it is now, if the moon were to scatter, say, oh, I want to hit the earth. إِنْ أَمْسَكَهُمَا مِنْ أَحَدٍ مِنْ بَعْدِ. Is there anyone who will go and hold it back? Nobody. So when Allah says, worship me, He's saying, worship me for your sake. That's why we start as a man amila salihan falinaf, for himself. If Allah says, wala takrabu zina, don't make zina, is it because he has a daughter he's protecting? It's not, it's for ourselves. We do not increase him in anything. In takfuru fa inna Allah ghaniyun ankum wala yarda li ibadihi al-kufr. If you disbelieve, ghaniyun ankum, Allah does not need you. He does not need you. How many are the angels in the heavens making sujood, making ruku, in qiyam? How many? They far outnumber human beings. So if you say, no, you don't want to worship him, okay, there are enough creatures worshipping him. For yourself, for ourselves. So these days, some of the people, when they come into the mosque, they want you to feel that you are not happy that they came. يَمُنُّونَ عَلَيْكَ أَنْ أَسْلَمُوا. They will be making a pride towards you that, oh, they became Muslim. You are not even happy that people like us. Who are you? It's one of the signs of the last hour. I hope we get there today. يَحْسِبُ أَحَدُهُمْ أَنَّهُ عَلَى شَيْءٍ وَلَيْسَ عَلَى شَيْءٍ. Individuals will be thinking that nobody is like them, but they are nobody. They themselves are not. He said, alayhi salatu wa salam, that يُنْزَعُ أُكُولُ أَكْسَرِ ذَلِكَ الزَّمَانِ. At that time, the intellect of a lot of people will be taken away. They will be senseless idiots. وَيُقْلَفُ لَهُمْ هَبَاءٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ لَا أُكُولَ لَهُمْ. Those that will be left are senseless idiots without senses, without intelligence. And he says, alayhi salatu wa salam, يَحْسِبُ أَحَدُهُمْ أَنَّهُ عَلَى شَيْءٍ وَلَيْسَ عَلَى شَيْءٍ. Each of them will be thinking that he's so important, but he's nothing. May Allah protect us. Let's not be designing the masajid. That is the point here. Let us keep the masjid as easy as possible, as simple as possible. It does not mean that the masjid should not have fans for convenience, just like we will roof the masjid for convenience. If it is air conditioned, the masjid can give us, yes, for convenience. Okay. Instead of having a pit, they make a water system for convenience. Okay. But these multicoloration and designs, we should stop it. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam prayed on a praying mat once, and he got distracted. He threw away the praying mat, was he? The hadith is authentic in Al-Bukhari. How many times do we pray on praying mat and we are distracted and we took away the mat? The Messenger alayhi salatu was given a praying mat, he performed salah on it, he got distracted, he threw it away. For us, it is a normal thing. We get the best of praying mat. I know somebody who bought a praying mat for about $450. A praying mat, yes. $450. Not only that, he would spray perfumes on it. So when he makes sujood, he does not want to stand up. There are mosques like that. After one salah, there are people, that is their job. They will bring a vacuum cleaner, they will clean the masjid, everywhere will be clean, then they will perfume the rug. So when you come in for salah, you don't like to go out. You stay in the masjid, you'll be reading Quran. That is how Al-Safwa Hotel is in Makkah. You don't like to come out. The same thing in Darul Ghufran and Al-Zamzam. Zamzam in the hotel facing the Kaaba. The one that has a clock. There are hotels inside. That is how they do it, because there are praying places in those areas. So when you perform Zuhur, you go before you come back, it's as if nobody ever touched the place. So you see that, yes, there are mushaf there, masahif. You pick Quran, you sit down. AC, you won't even see where the AC is coming from. You just see that the masjid is cool. If all of these implies convenience, no problem. But the coloration says, لا تحمر ولا تصفر. Don't bring yellow, red, yellow, red, yellow. That is coloring the mosque, and then it becomes a diversion. Or even the mat with which you pray. The marble, whatever, that you put on the ground, make sure that it is something that the mind of the people can cope with. It is not the color that can keep them so distracted from the very essence of building a mosque, which is worship. These are from the signs of the last hour. People design the masjid and then they start costing. One of the most expensive buildings in Abuja today is where? The National Mosque. I'm sure you are aware. Estate surveyors say that one of the most expensive buildings in the entirety of Abuja is the National Mosque. May Allah make things easy for us, we Muslims. That is the 19th point. We could stop conveniently at the 20th point. Go. It says, At-tafawulu fil bunyan, competing about building tall structures. That one builds 20, will be 25. Make it 25. That one builds 30, make it 40. Skyscraper. They are common now in the Muslim world. Tall buildings, very tall, everywhere in the Muslim world. In Dubai, you have the tallest building in the world. In Malaysia, you have a lot of tall skyscrapers in Malaysia. Like, as if you are in New York. It's one of the signs of the last hour. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَأَنْتَرَ الْحُفَاةَ. You are going to find al-hufa, barefooted people, al-ura, naked people, al-ala, poor people, ri'a shah, livestock ri'ara, yatatawaluna fil bunyan. They will be competing to build tall structures. Poor people, ri'ara, katu ri'ara, when they walk on the street, they are hardly wearing anything. It is bante they have. They just tie something on the body. This was their history. But later on, they will become people who will be so enormously rich that they will be competing in building tall structures. Abdullah ibn Abbas reported a hadith in Musnad Imam Ahmad. They asked the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Man hum ya Rasulallah? He says, Al-Arab. Who are they, O Messenger of Allah? I say, the Arab. And the tallest buildings, I tell you, are coming in the Arab world. If you get into Riyadh, the capital of Saudi Arabia, it's a lot of tall structures. in Qatar, in Doha, everywhere, they're even rebuilding the city. They destroyed skyscrapers, destroyed huge. In Dubai, Abu Dhabi, the Muslim, entirety of the Muslim world, because there's a lot of wealth. Says Yatapawalud, they contest in tallness regarding their building. Which one is the tallest, which one is the shortest, which one is the middle? Oh, they have 200, okay, we build 400. May Allah make things easy for us. These are signs of the last hour that the Messenger mentioned, alayhi salatu wa salam. I would like to stop here, even though we still have a few points I had to talk. I was thinking we'll get to 30 today. But if we want to do that, we'll be unnecessarily in a haste. May Allah make this that we have heard beneficial to the speaker and the listener. May Allah make it easy for us to prepare for this day. Because the day of Qiyamah is a day that people will become in two categories. Allah says, يَوْمَ يَعْتِ. A day that will come such that لَا تَكَلَّمَ نَفْسٌ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. No human being will speak except by the permission of Allah. فَمِنْهُمْ شَقِيٌّ وَسَعِيدٌ. Some of them will be أَشْقِيَا, may Allah protect us. They will be people, let me say it in your language, أُولُورِ بُرُكُ شَقِيٌّ. That's what Allah says. That is wretched people. وَسَعِيدٌ سُعَدَى, successful people. We beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to count us amongst the successful. Anyone who fails on that day has failed. So that is the reason why this is the time we have to correct our lapses, to make tawbah, to redirect our attention. There is no, except for our children. Many of us here have clocked 35 and above. And the Messenger said, alayhi salatu wasalam, the average age of my ummah is 60. So time is going. So everybody who has the time, let him have good use of his time. It's one of the signs of the last hour. We mentioned it, taqarub al-zaman. The times will go so quickly. And in that hadith, he says, a year will be like a month. A month will be like a week, kal-jum'a. Wal-jum'a tu takunu kayawm. 1 week will be like 1 day. It says, wal-yawm yakunu kasa'a. And a day will be like 1 hour. So that is how the time will go. Ibn Hajar rahimahullah explained this hadith. He said, it means that people will be spending time, long time on a thing, and Allah will not bless it. There will not be barakat in the time people spend. So in the past, something people can do for a year, in our own time we'll be doing it for 10, 15 years and there's no barakat. No barakat. Others say no, it actually means that things will be fast. Because instead of traveling a journey for a day, you can travel that journey for 1 hour. So it will be like the zaman is near. Different explanations for those hadith. The point is that time is going. The time is going. Everybody has shorter time by the day. By the time we meet next week, our ages would have reduced by 1 week. Yes. If we come back here, may Allah make it easy for us. By next week Sunday, our ages would have reduced by 1 week. مَا غَرَّكَ بِرَبِّكَ الْكَرِيمِ. So what is that is making you puff regarding your Lord? So may Allah make things easy for us. When we remember the last hour, and it is not compulsory, every one of us has to be there till the last hour. Once our own time comes, we shall go. وَالْقَلْقُ مَيِّتُونَ بِآجَالِهِمْ. The creation, mankind, creatures will go at their time. إِنَّ نَفَادِ أَرْزَاكِهِمْ وَانْقِطَاءِ آثَارِهِمْ. When the arzak Allah has preordained for them finishes, we will go. وَانْقِطَاءِ آثَارِهِمْ. When the number of footsteps Allah has preordained for us ends, we will go. And nobody can stop us. May Allah make things easy for us. May Allah accept our acts of repentance. May Allah accept our acts of worship. Make us remember these sittings as sittings of benefit. Allah, I was there that day. That was why since that day I started changing. May Allah make this easy for us. I'd like us to have few questions today, inshallah. And last week we had very, very few. If we have
some little more today, it will be beneficial, inshallah. Alaykum salam. Naam. Anallah. Naam.
In some mosques, they write verses from the Quran, of the Quran on the wall. Al-Imam Al-Qurtubi says it's an innovation. Sheikh Bakr ibn Abdullah Zayd also says it's an innovation. Ulama long ago, Al-Imam Al-Qurtubi long ago, he says it's an innovation. Writing verses of the Quran on the wall. Allah did not reveal the Quran for that. He revealed the Quran for you to write it on your character. كتاب أنزلناه إليك مبارك ليدبروا آياته وليتذكر أولو الألباب. This Quran is blessed and it has been revealed to you. ليدبروا آياته, so that you can contemplate its sign. وليتذكر أولو الألباب, and those who are sensible will take to it and act upon it. So that is the reason why the Quran was revealed, not to write on the mosques, on the walls of mosques. Or make the Quran a ringtone for yourself. All of these are from the aspects that we use the Quran that are wrong. Many Muslims don't know how to read Quran. It's great disservice. Reading. Qira'atul Quran. And we don't pay attention to it. For how long are we going to be so oblivious about Allah's book? And then we'll be bold to say we have degrees, BSc, MSc, PhD. What do you boast of? When the book Allah has sent to you, you have refused to be able to read it. Read. And the Prophet will complain about that on the day of Qiyamah. He say, Ya Rabbi, inna qawmi takhazu hadha al-Qur'ana mahjura. Oh my Lord, when I left the people, they left the Qur'an. It's in Surah Al-Furqan. On the day of Qiyamah, the Messenger said, my Lord, the people abandon the Quran. The times you see people bring that Quran now when they want to read their fee for money. Or they have one dream, they are afraid, they read Tabaraka. They read Muluk. They come, they say, I want you to finish the whole Quran inside my house. Did you finish? The Quran is not a medicine book. It's a book of work and practice. Work and practice. People turn the Quran as if it's a book of medicine. If you have one problem, it is Quran. It is when we have problem, we come back to Quran. Why? When we want to marry, we don't look at the Quran. When we want to take up a job, we don't look at the Quran. So it's as if people put the Quran behind them. اتخذوا هذا القرآن مهجورا. Put it behind them. We don't have time. So when they have problems, they run to the Quran. And those charlatans going around, playing themselves cheap with the Quran. They read Yasin and come back to meet the woman in the market that they have dropped Yasin in her house. She should bring the money for Yasin. Where is the money for Yasin? Does Yasin tell you that it wants money? And inside Yasin itself, Yasin, Allah says in it, that اتَّبِعُوا مَنْ لَا يَسْأَلُكُمْ أَجْرًا وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. Those you should follow are those who will not ask you to bring money. It's in Yasin, it's in Surah Yasin. اتَّبِعُوا مَنْ لَا يَسْأَلُكُمْ أَجْرًا وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. Those that you should follow, مَنْ لَا يَسْأَلُكُمْ أَجْرًا. Those who will not tell you, bring money. But now when they read Yasin, what do they say to you? Say, bring money. May Allah protect us. The entirety of the matter is we are drifting towards the end times. That's why the matters are going downside up and upside down. The Messenger said, alayhi salatu wasalam, اقرأوا القرآن واسألوا الله به فإنه سيأتي في أمتي أقوام يقرؤون القرآن ويسألون الناس به. Say, you read the Quran, وَاسْأَلُ اللَّهَ بِهِ, and ask Allah with it. Read Quran, when you finish reading, ask Allah. Says, فَإِنَّهُ سَيَاتِ عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانِ. A time will come upon the people, يَقْرَؤُونَ النَّاسُ الْقُرْآنِ, people will read the Quran, وَيَسْأَلُونَ النَّاسَ بِهِ. Then they will ask if you bring money. But you, when you read, ask Allah with it. وَإِذَا سَأَلْتُمْ فَاسْأَلُوا اللَّهِ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ. When you ask, you need help, ask Allah. We don't ask Allah, we ask Afar. Politicians, everybody, they want something, they start running after some young boys in the bush. After Madrasa Sanawiya, they take to the bush. Who lives in the bush? Those are the homes for jinns and other evil spirits. Bush. So they take homes with them. They stay with them. And then you go and meet them there in the bush. It does not make sense at all. May Allah protect us. All these things, the Muslims should stop it. When you read the Quran, even if it is just Surah Al-Fatiha that you know, you can ask Allah with it. You don't have to read the entirety of the Quran to ask Allah for what you want. You can ask Allah for what you want by reading Surah Al-Fatiha, by reading Ikhlas, by reading Nas, and all of these. May Allah accept our dua. The 11th point. قتال العجم. It says, لا تقوم الساعة. The end time will not come. حتى تقاتلوا الخوز والكرمان. Khuz and Kirman are names of two tribes. And those tribes are known to be in present day Iran. Khuz and Kirman. They are two tribes from non-Arabs and they are known to be in Iran, present day Iran. Khuz, they say the name of their town is Khuzistan. Khuzistan. Maybe that means Kurdistan or Khuzistan, but I think there's a city called Khuzistan. In Iran today, find it, you will see it, that these two tribes, when they accept Islam, when you fight them as Muslims, you should know that it is one of the signs of the last hour. And fighting them, I think, occurred earlier in the history of Islam. Allahu Akbar. Alaykum salam. Ameen one. Many what? Design Quran is one of the signs of the last hour too. We must mind it. The designs of the Quran. There are Quran designed, the pages are made with gold. Plated with gold. Some silver. We should avoid things like this. It's one of the signs of the last hour. Allah didn't send down the Quran for that. So if we buy it, we would have encouraged the makers, go, so that they can make another one. But when we don't buy it, that is indication that we are displeased with it. Alaykum as-salam. Now, you say what? Okay, go on. About interest.
Interest, people's funding, and having different funding. What I
How do Muslims in the present day world that is full of riba-based business transactions, how do they cope? They cope by not participating. How will they not participate? They will not participate by looking for alternatives, one of which you mentioned. You mentioned a bank that is known for not charging interest on their loans and things like this. Even in the West, in England, in America, there are banks that are zero interest banks now, especially after the failure the world saw of capitalism in the last 5 to 6 years, when they themselves announced that they have failed. Even in the US at that time, they started asking for interest-free loans. And many of those banks that erupted at that time in the West are still there till today. So we only have to look for alternatives. Some of those banks, influential Muslims. Many of the banks you see today in Nigeria, Muslims have strongholds in them. It means if the Muslims are educated and enlightened enough and are resolved to change the tide of events, we are really capable of changing it. What is left is our iman and our zeal to obey Allah and His Messenger. If you and I believe that you will not trade with any of the modern day banks that are charging interest, that bank you mentioned now can spread to this place. But if we cannot get that bank today, then we must make our interactions with the interest based system as minimal as possible and as absolutely necessary as possible. When it is not necessarily important, you don't have anything to do with the bank. More so now that we are going to the cashless banking. I think it will help the Muslims a lot by not, contributing, going to those banks, borrowing money from them. You know, we have alternatives. There are a lot of alternatives now. The way the world is now, all it means is that we need to educate ourselves what are those alternatives, one of which is what you just mentioned, that we have a bank in Nigeria that does not charge interest. So the Muslims in this town could have a voice, write a letter to them, donate a building, and then by the next time you see the bank operating here. And I think in the next 3, 4, 5 years, most of these things will change. Inshallah, over the time. We only need to be ready to change it. I tell you, the big wigs in many of the so-called interest-based banks are Muslim. If they want to change it, they will change it. I know what I'm talking about. We know some of them. If the Muslims decide in this country today, we want to change this, we don't want interest-based banking again, we'll have banks all across Nigeria. And even non-Muslims will still bank with us. Because they also prefer the non-interest banking system, including the Jews themselves. Their religion itself prohibits interest-based banking. Even the Christians, their religion prohibits interest-based banking. But it is only the Muslims that have been able to gather a voice to say, no, we don't want, our religion prohibits it. And even at that, the percentage of the Muslims who are aware of these things is still very low. So we still need a lot of enlightenment regarding the matter. Talking to our rich people, making them know that they have to create alternatives. Alaykum as-salam. Okay. A brother says we have other than the bank you mentioned. Which bank again? Sterling Bank? He says that Sterling Bank has opened a window and Stanbic IBTC, but please verify very well. The corporate world today is very deceptive. When they advertise a product, when you get there, you see something else. So check well. Advertisements today are not better than lies. So please, when you go, check well. So that you don't say it is Ustaz Fulan that says we should go. Go and verify. And be sure that there is no riba there. So that me, I will not carry from the body. Alaykum as-salam.
Ameen. Should we, will it be right for us to attribute widespread of evil and say, oh, the Jews are behind it, and the so and so are behind it? Is it correct? It may be correct and it may be wrong. It may be correct because actions are actually ascribed to their doer. So if anybody can prove that they are behind it, then it's right to ascribe it to them and think like that. Actions are ascribed to their doer. So if the person can find proof that a particular evil is spread by a certain group of people in the world, and he said this evil was spread by so and so people, it's not wrong. So it can be right from that perspective. But it will be wrong from the perspective to think that that thing itself spread by the entirety of the work and the ability of those people spreading the evil. That would be wrong, because Allah is the one in charge of the universe and nothing happens except by His permission. So absolute allowance for a thing to happen is by the permission of Allah. So we will only keep that reservation, that Allah permits that so and so happens. Allah permits that so and so happens. It is different from Allah allowing so and so to happen. If He permits it, the thing wants to happen, he allows it to go. It is different from jurisprudence, jurisdiction, legislation. To say Allah has allowed it in legislation, Allah has not allowed it in legislation. I hope that we can find a better time to explain this. Something can happen in the world that Allah has prohibited, like adultery. Allah prohibits adultery. He prohibits in terms of legislation. Alcohol, Allah prohibits alcohol in terms of what? Legislation. But in terms of occurrence, who has allowed alcohol to occur? Who created alcohol? Allah. Allah created alcohol, but He has prohibited you from consuming it. He told Adam alayhi salam that he should go into Al-Jannah. What did he say? Uskun anta wa zawjuka al-jannah. وَكُلَا مِنْهَا رَغَدًا حَيْثُ شِئْتُمَا وَلَا تَقْرَبَا هَذَا. Eat anything you like inside Al-Jannah, but don't touch this one. Who created that one that he said they should not touch? Who allowed it to be inside Al-Jannah? Allah. Yes, he said don't touch it. The same thing, he allows alcohol to be on the earth, but he legislates that we should not drink it. He allows men and women to be on the earth, but he said the only time you can meet yourself is when you are rightly married. So in terms of ultimate allowing a thing to happen, that is by the power of Allah. But the doers themselves are those who did it. And in that sense, the action must be and can be ascribed to the doers. Allahu alam. Alaykum as-salam. Concerning what? Dua and zikr in a congregation. What do you mean by dua and zikr in jama? As we are sitting here, we are doing zikr in jama. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, everybody shouting, la ilaha illallah. واصبر نفسك مع الذين يدعون ربهم بالغداة والعشي يريدون وجهه. They misunderstand and misinterpret this verse, because they did not understand what led to the revelation. Perhaps it will be our last question for today. That verse was revealed because when some of the Muslims who were poor at the time remained in the masjid making azkar,
the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam sought after the influential people, because every da'wah needs people that are influential. When you have influential people, the harassment you get from the opposing camp will be what? Will be reduced. That is the impact of the likes of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, Umar, Uthman, Abdul Rahman ibn Auf accepting Islam. It reduced opposition. When some parties have big wigs supporting them and saying that yes, what they are doing is correct, go on, I'm behind you, they feel happy. It prompts them, it drives a sense of joy in them, and it's a negative for the others. So when the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam went in search of those who were influential in Makkah at the time, it was appearing as if he spent more time with them and spent far less time with the others who rushed to Iman, who were not from the wealthy, and who had more time to spend, who spent more time in the masajid. So because it was appearing that he was spending more time here and less here, he had good intentions, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said, don't abandon these people. So it was as if, pay attention to them too. It does not mean go and sit with them in the mosque and start saying la ilaha illallah. And that's why you didn't see that in Islamic history, that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam sat down in the masjid with his companions and they were shouting, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. They were not doing that. They were not doing that. We Muslims have turned our Islam as if all, everything is problem. Even those who think that their religion is all about solving problems, they preach. This morning I was overhearing, in the last 1 week, around where I stay, a church has been making a hell of noise from about 4:30 p.m. till the next morning. Only Allah knows where they gained the strength from. I've been very bewildered. Where did they gain the strength from? They sing and dance from 4:30 p.m. till the next morning. And you hear them so loudly. They are technical, they are audiogram. Okay. This morning, some Muslims too, they gathered. And they Allah know where they gathered. What you are hearing? Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Those people will preach. They will explain their misguidance to their misguided audience. But the Muslims, we are not preaching. The affairs are not explaining anything to the people. The next thing after astaghfirullah and ilaha illallah, alaja wa one more wa, you will hear it. And they are speaking that, saying that on the microphone too. Those are the people who collect money. They collect far much more than our own people will collect. But you never hear it on the microphone. Because for them, everything has its place and time. In fact, they collect 100 times what our own affairs will collect. 1,000 times. But you never hear it on the microphone. Our own people, after the la 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 la, this, that, that, the next thing, subhanallah. We are not explaining Islam to the people. If a man understands Islam, Anas ibn Malik, we'll stop with this hadith. This hadith occurs in Sahih Muslim. One man came to see the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was amongst the mushrikun. So he met the Prophet when he was with the animals, the livestock that we are brought for zakah. So he said, Muhammad, say now, say all this one for you, say yes. Give me small now, say small. Take all. He said, what did you say? He said, take all. The man collected, he didn't tell him about Islam. I should take all, he said, yes. The man, he was the leader of his people. He took everything and went to his people. Oh, people. Muhammad is a very nice person. I don't know a person like as nice as him. Even if he doesn't accept, all of you should come and go and accept his Islam. He's brought his people to accept Islam with the Prophet Muhammad. From the benevolence, alayhi salatu wasalam, of the Messenger. Jabir ibn Abdullah, I'm sorry, in another hadith, he says, the Prophet was never asked for anything that he had and he said no. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had something and he was asked, he will give it to you. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anas ibn Malik said, many people accepted Islam like that. The Prophet gave them something, they accepted it. See, but when they understood the point of reference, after they understood Islam, all those things they had taken, they brought it back to Islam. Because Islam became dearer to them than those things. So they brought all those things and brought it back. All we need is to make the people understand Islam. When they understand Islam, then it will be easy to say, oh, tomorrow we have professors. So they say, oh, let's, because they know that they are not sending it for the person telling them. Allah will repay them on the day of Qiyamah. But the people don't understand. So the apostles will tell them lies. They will tell them that they dream. They will tell them that they will have problems. They will, you know, curse them. That you know go better for you if you don't bring the money. So when they bring the money, say, hey, yes, you brought the money now. So this is the way, it's not correct. Educate the people. Let them be educated. Let them be enlightened. At that time, say, oh, somebody is sick here. Everybody say, wait, I want to be the one. Wealth became widespread in the Muslim community to the extent that we read it. When people want to give out zakat, the person you want to give is telling you that I don't need it, I have. But when the Muslims today, we are not explaining Islam, the Muslims are stingy. They think that the money will keep them. So until we explain Islam to the people and enlighten them and make them understand their duties to Allah, that time you say, oh, let's build a masjid for Salatul Jummah. We need a school. We need. It will be easy. The person has 1 million, 2 million, 5 million. It will not be in terms of 100 naira and 200 naira. Some of them will say, ah, no, 50 naira is more. Here today is 100 naira we must collect. I've been into a gathering, and the brother was saying, anyhow, you must spend money. I didn't answer. I was just looking at him. But I had intended that I will dash them money. Not because they pray, they do dua. It was a nikah. So I was watching. They were saying, ah, you, stand up. I was just smiling. I didn't answer them. But in such cases, when you are in front of them, recite Ayatul Kursi a lot. Because some of them, and many of them, have sihr with them. Yes, totally. So I was just looking. When we finished, we stood up. The first one, I gave him 2,000. The next one, I gave him 1,000. The next one, the whole thing scattered. You know, my own intention is just give a gift. The average Muslim is a benevolent person. That is why it is amongst Muslims that you see feasibly lie. It is among us you see Atarabara. Give us, give me, Allah will give you back. Allahu Akbar. Give us, give me, not me. The person will say, give me, Allah will give you back. So, this attitude in us, what will bring it back is enlightenment. Enlightenment. When the individual is enlightened, he wants to take everything. When you hear Abu Bakr al-Siddiq brought everything in his house, was it because he didn't have a need? But he knew that, let me throw it there so that I go and meet it in hereafter. So the affair does not need to strangulate us. If you don't bring us today, you don't go sleep in your house. The way they do. May Allah protect us. May Allah make our deen easy for us. Inshallah, we'll continue with the science of the last hour in our next class till we finish the book.